I'm saying, Rashad White, you are now backing up Bucky Irving. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it's going to be.
Ooh.
And I think it comes right down from the Glazers. If anybody needed a little prodding, I think the Glazers supplied it. Bucky Irving needs his touches.
So you think the Glazers pulled in Al Davis, and they're ordering Bowles to play Bucky Irving?
I think they're suggesting it. And when the boss suggests, gorge myself, gain 2.5 pounds.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And I forgot to give your other name, Ira. That's Mr. Bill Curry Ford, because Bill Curry Ford presents all your work at JoeBucksFan.com. Get there today, BillCurryFord.com. You'll see that amazing Black Friday offer on all new vehicles, and you can shop all their inventory and schedule service, BillCurryFord.com. Sage.
You know I have almost 2,000 items that I have contributed to the Joe Bucks Fan website. Nearly 2,000, Steve. It's a nice round number. I'm in the high 1900s.
It's fascinating. You know, one of your old colleagues said to me years ago, before you came on board, he said, he's got no work ethic. Kaufman's got no work ethic.
Love it. Love it.
We're excited after this Bucks victory, and we need to let everybody know that, yes, it's the holiday week, but you know what doesn't care about the holidays, Ira? Any kind of disaster in your home. Doesn't care that it's the holiday week.
Mother Nature.
You know how many fires there are, people cooking who shouldn't be cooking or don't know what they're doing this time of year?
Fried turkey.
Exactly. Fried turkeys, who knows what. Disaster strikes, could be mold, flooding. Call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, and they mean it with the 24/7 response. That's what they do, and it could be all kinds of disasters.
They're busy, but they will get back to you quickly.
You know, the storm is gone, and they obviously had many, many calls through the storm, and you can see all their phenomenal Google reviews for floridaselite restoration.com, and they are there for you. Josh Martin, owner, great Bucks fan. Their team covers the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. Mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com when you first call. And if you need their service after a free evaluation of your whole disaster, you'll get $500 back.
Goes towards your deductible.
Yeah, if
or
you
in
sign
your pocket.
On to, yeah. To have them do the work, and they can do everything. So call them if you need them. But first, get to floridaselite restoration.com so you can be prepared and know exactly what they do. They're the best.
They finally picked up the debris on my street, Lee, last week.
It's got nothing to do with Florida's Elite Restoration.
No, but it's got to do with the storms, baby.
It's got a lot to do with the sage. All right, now, Ira, look, we got a special guest on this podcast. Special guest.
He wants to talk about refuge.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Lee and I were at Bill Curry Ford on Sunday, watched the game with Sean Sullivan, and we dissected a bit of some instant reaction from Sean, our draft guru, and we shared a few takes, and he's going to tell us what's going on at Bill Curry Ford for the holidays. So we're going to get to that later, but first we're clearing the floor.
I want to address Buck Nation right now,
Steven.
For
you to address everybody.
All right. Calm down, people. Calm down, in the words of Lee DeKemper. Lee, I think Buck fans are getting too jaded. They're too cynical at this point. You shouldn't be cynical when they turned it around from 4-7 last year. You shouldn't be cynical and say they're not going to do it this year. Take your pot shots at Bowles. Here's what I mean, Lee. I'm reading some of the comments. I got to learn not to read these comments, Lee. You got to school me on this stuff. And what do
I read them.
And what do I hear? The Bucks turtled in the second half. They beat a terrible Giants team. Lee, the Giants suck. I'm not arguing the point. But goddamn, it was 23-0 at the half. 17 first downs to 3. What more do you want, Lee? 250 yards to 50. What more do you want? They slapped them around. The Giant fans are leaving in droves at halftime. I love it because I'm very familiar with the Meadowlands.
Yeah, you work here for
the Swamps of Jersey, yeah. As Springsteen says. Lee, a win's a win. You only play the teams that are on your schedule. What are you going to do? The way the Bucks were playing, nobody expected them to nunchuck the Giants.
No.
Like they did. I don't care how bad the Giants are.
Nice verb.
Yeah, nunchuck. Lee, that was a wipeout. That was a wipeout. The game was over at the half. I said it was one of the best halves of Buck football since the first half of the Super Bowl against the Raiders. The first Super
Bowl.
That's
saying a lot.
And that's saying a lot. It's more than 20 years. Anyway, I think we got to get these fans back on board. There's a season worth salvaging here. They're 5-6. The Falcons are 6-5. I got no faith in the damn Falcons. Why should I? They've been smoked twice in the last month. The Bucks lose. They don't get smoked.
That's true.
By Seattle. By Denver.
Well, they got smoked by Denver, all right.
Yeah, but this was worse. It was 36-8, I think it was. I don't have any faith in Atlanta. I think the Bucks within a month could be on top of that division. So calm down, Buck fans. Calm down. Now, could it all change with a loss in Charlotte on Sunday afternoon? It damn sure could, Lee. But let's not nitpick after a 30-7 victory, Lee. Do we have to nitpick? And you know, my only question was why was Mayfield in the game in the middle of the fourth quarter?
Well, you heard what Bowles said. They don't like to come out.
Steve, why? Why is he in there? I don't care if there's a 1% chance of him getting hurt. Why is he in there?
He's in there to get hurt and screw the season. That's what he's in there for.
I don't get
That's the only reason.
I don't get it.
Well, what else could it be?
I don't care that you hand it. Let Trask hand it off. Let him hand it off. I don't care. That made no sense.
It's not
to me,
just
Steve.
The handoff. Mayfield got hurt on a bizarre play where I believe he was handed off, and then he got run into.
It was a miscued handoff.
Yeah, and then he got run into, and he had a stinger in his neck. So that excuse by Bowles went out the window. We hate seeing it. It doesn't make any sense. That's how Antoine Winfield got hurt in week one, messed up his foot with like four plays to go in a blowout or a big win.
It was a beatdown, though, Steve. It was a beatdown.
Go ahead,
Lee. What Steve is talking about is exactly why Bucks fans are cynical. They don't trust Todd Bowles. Even when the Bucks win, you got questions. Why did you do this? Did you do that?
Lee, is it possible that this goes back to the Rams' playoff loss?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
These fans don't forget, Lee. They don't forgive.
Not when it costs them a chance at the Super Bowl. Well, nor should they. I'm not ripping Bowles, by the way, but I still have the shivers about Don Dechinger. And that was, 1985? So, I can understand why Bucks fans are still irked at Bowles. I don't blame Bowles for that.
Now, that was the year that Cooper Kupp was all world.
Well, yeah, he should have been.
Hold on. Right. Let's get to the point of the matter here for these people that you're addressing, which is a small percentage of fans that are
But they're loud. They're loud.
Oh, yeah.
Pissed off about what happened late in the game. So two things that we've got to say about that. At halftime, and Todd Bowles fed this, right? He fueled it because at halftime he got on CBS and he said, we let our foot off the gas the first half of the season and I don't know what the hell that means because that was pretty telling.
Yeah.
But the point was we want to close this thing out really hard and strong. And what happened? The Giants got the ball. They came out. They marched right down the field until Levante David forced a fumble on the 5-yard line. Bucks got the ball, answered with a 95-yard drive. That should soothe everybody.
Game over.
30-0 and game over. But the Bucks didn't do anything after that. So the people who are nitpicking, they're pissed off about 21 minutes the Bucks not keeping their foot on the gas, which is what the coach says, don't do that. So there you go.
Here's why there's a cynicism with Bucks fans. It's ingrained in their system. It's like battered child syndrome. Older Bucks fans survived the Culver House era. You don't get much lower than that.
The Doug Williams curse. Yeah.
Yeah, they survived that. Then you had good years under Doug and our Dungy and Chucky, and then the lost decade comes, which is basically a reversal back to the Culver House days. And so Bucks fans are naturally cynical because it's been beat into them. Bowles, they don't like Bowles. It's just so that's why they're cynical. It's beat into them. Take away a short spot, 3 years of Arians. Take that away, and from the lost decade all the way till now, they really haven't done much. And I don't blame them for being cynical. Again, battered child syndrome. They've been beat to hell year after year after year after year. They expect nonsense. They expect losses, and it bothers them. Winning is an anomaly almost.
But, Steve, another factor is Bowles' demeanor. It's a factor.
Which that will never change.
All right, now let's get to the demeanor because I know there's something you don't like. And we're going to get to
that. I saw the post-game locker room, Steve. It looked like a guy going into a bank trying to get a loan or something. It was short. It was about 20 seconds. And he said, man, let's go get him next week.
See him Monday.
I mean, you just beat the hell out of a team. Can I get a little something?
Yeah, guys aren't really paying attention. There's no rah-rah. The energy's not there. And Bowles knows that he's got this, 45-second platform to impact these guys. He's just really bad at it. But like you said.
But that's him. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying he will never be Chucky. He will never be insert your own Kirby.
Arians.
Well, Kirby Smart's another guy does Tasmanian Devil BS on the sideline, which I think is complete nonsense. This bothers me that people don't like Bowles or Dungy. Dungy was another one because they have a stoic personality. Some of the greatest coaches that ever lived had the personality of a Cigar Store Indian.
Was Chuck Knoll Jerry Lewis? No,
Chuck
he wasn't.
Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, Tom Landry. Is Belichick go bananas on the sideline?
Absolutely not.
I mean, that just drives me nuts.
Ira's one of them. He's looking at this video on YouTube saying, what is that?
But usually Ira defends.
That one shocked me.
Usually Ira defends Bulls because that means nothing. That means nothing with the guy's personality.
But now you're talking to your players, Lee. Now you're talking to your players in the locker room.
Ira, you've heard this much more than I have. What is a cliche you always hear? Every coach says this. If you try to be fake, players will look through it.
Try to be someone you're not.
Bingo. Bowles isn't trying to be Chucky. He's not trying to be Kirby Smart. Bowles is trying to be Bowles. Bobby Bowden always said the same thing. Coaches would ask Bobby Bowden, how should I be as a coach? Be yourself. Bowden always told him, be yourself.
Good.
I'll say this. Last year he was screaming on some of those videos with his, his stuff that he was doing.
I thought he did it a few times this year.
But what I will say is maybe he was annoyed with just what we were talking about, which is, guys, you didn't close the game out like we were supposed to. So maybe that's what happened.
Maybe.
But I know what you're saying, Ira. I know what Lee's saying. And the fans can think what they like on that. But against New Orleans, which was the last win before this one, they kept their foot on the gas. They rolled up a 50 spot and poured it on. And that's what fans wanted to see, and that's not what happened. So
here's a quick one for you. You remember what Tom Landry used to say when they asked him, how come you're so stoic on the sidelines, no emotion? I'm thinking. I'm looking at two plays ahead what I'm going to do. I can't think and get excited at the same time.
Interesting.
That's what he said.
Did you think, Steve, that the Bucks played with more energy on Sunday? What was different?
Well, look, I said this to you guys.
Besides a lousy opponent.
Over the course of time, I've said to you guys that how painful it is to watch a Giants game. So now you got an idea of what I meant by that. Bad team. Carolina played, I haven't watched the game yet, but they apparently played pretty well against the Chiefs. But that's a terrible football team. Make no mistake, they should have lost to the Giants 2 weeks ago. Ugly team to watch.
Defense is bad.
The offense is bad and the defense is bad. That's for the next podcast. But did I like the Bucks? I like their energy. They came out and scored first. Great drive. That 95-yard drive was something special, and they needed it at that time to really close the game out, knock it up to 30-0.
Their early offense is impressively.
They've got
early game offense.
Yeah,
they
Combs
score.
Doing a good job.
They've got five opening drive scores after zero last year.
Almost half the games.
Looked it up, Ira. They are second in the NFL in first quarter points with seven.
Nice.
Vikings lead with 7.5.
Last year was two and change.
Terrible. Last year it was seven. Excuse me. Vikings lead was 7.5. And they've got six games of 30 or more. I believe that's tied with Buffalo, or that's the best in the league. So the offense is
on point.
What
about Detroit? Better than Detroit, maybe?
I'm just telling you what I know. So offense impressive, except, they got a little lucky on the standpoint of when Sean Tucker fumbled at the 3-yard line and Baker Mayfield comes out of nowhere, dives on that thing, that was a 7-0 game in the second quarter. If the Giants guy picks that up, it's tied. The whole place is going wild. And, Tucker fumbled again on that kickoff. Can't do that.
Yeah, bad.
But a little bit sloppy here and there later in the game. But the offense, special.
Lee, we talked till we got nothing left to say about the outside pass rush. Maybe the answer is they got a dynamic inside pass
rush.
Yeah,
they do.
And it's really helping.
Yeah, Kansas's coming along. And what I mean by that is, he missed most of the training camp. Missed, what, four games, five games? So basically, he's just now coming out of his training camp, his preseason. He's just coming out of it now. And the way he's playing, and it's opening up things for Villa, they're dangerous inside. And I love.
Did you love Villa rolling over that guy? Rolling over.
Freight trained him, man. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Now, here's something else beautiful, Ira. And we'll get to Bucky in a moment.
Please do, because I can't talk enough about the kid.
Well, did you like it how, and I was shocked to hear this. You can hear Bucks fans on TV. Bucky, Bucky.
I heard it. I thought it might be Giant fans doing it. They're so cynical.
I mean,
I did hear Bucky on TV
on
a road game.
You covered the Giants up there. How shocking is that?
That's pretty shocking. Usually, if there's a Buck fan sitting next to you, they get beer poured
I was gonna
on
say,
their head.
Yeah.
It's just like Philly. Steve, I can't say enough about this kid. What a pick by Light. Light, I've been slapping you around. Some of it you deserve, some of it you may not, but what a pick in the fourth round. The 125th pick in the draft is the best rookie running back in the league and one of the best rookies, period, in this league. I asked for 18. touches, and I got 18. You know what, Steve? I'm bumping it up to 22 this week.
All right, Sage. On that note, two things. Number one, 5 sacks for Kancey in 6 games. Very special.
Very special.
Vita Vea, his most productive season as far as numbers, he's on pace for by far. He's got 6 sacks in 10 games.
I don't see where the Les Waite usurped his power.
Well, I don't see Les Waite anymore. So there's that. All right, we're going to jump over to our post-game reaction with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. And it closes with he's got a question for you, Ira. So let's kick back and listen to this, and then you'll answer it. All right, JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan here for a rarely, very rare instant reaction after this Bucks-Giants game right here in the dealership at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And then, you know, I guess we'll get a quick reaction from Lee and me, Sean, but this is all about you because we're right inside Ira's podcast right now. So we've already had plenty to say, but you sat and watched this here. Your thoughts, the Bucks are 5-6, a game back of Atlanta now. What did you see out there?
Well, apparently Todd Bowles' plan of winning the last 7 games is on pace right now, so he's one done. What I saw was some great offensive football against a very talented Giants defense. It was nice to have Mike Evans back. It was nice to finally get Bucky Irving some starter touches, and that's really what he got today, and he produced on that. I saw a great effort. I saw a team having fun. Baker was out there, looked like a schoolboy out there, running around blocking, throwing blocks, putting his passes on the money. I saw great distribution of the ball, so we went to several different wide receivers. It looked like a really overall terrific offensive game plan by Liam Cohen. And then defensively, I like to see Todd when he's in his blitz mode. You know, we blitzed more than half of our plays today, which according to Tiki Barber, which is really interesting. But I like it when we play aggressive. I like it when we're not putting our guys on a soft zone where we're getting after the quarterback. So I liked everything I saw today on a Giants team that's clearly tanking. I think that's, you know, the bigger story is why DeVito started, in my opinion, you know, over Drew Locke, who I think was a much more veteran quarterback that probably could have given them a much better showing today.
Do you think you can gauge anything from the Bucks defense here, or the Giants offense stinks so bad you can't? What did you like about the defense specifically, and can we really get a barometer here?
I don't think so. I mean, Jamal Dean was back. You know, it was nice not to see some other guys on the field today. Mike Edwards got some playing time today. I think overall, just seeing the defense more aggressive, it's what we do. You know, I feel like blitzing is just part of what you expect in a Todd Bowles defense. And when he only blitzes 25% of the time and plays a soft zone Mike Smith defense, it drives me insane as a fan. But today was much more, you know, what he does. He got a lot of pressure. Vita Vea was unblockable today. If you guys want to watch Vita Vea, just isolate him on some plays. He was just unbelievable. I saw some Kancey. Looks like he's rounding into shape, where he looks a lot better coming off of this bye than he has. Other than that, though, it was like a preseason game to me in the second half. The Giants literally called it in like from a phone booth. They were just not interested in playing in the second half. I think the first half was just a better judge of what we're going to do, but we're going into another game against Carolina, where I don't really see Carolina putting up much of an effort next week either. I think we're going to be on cruise control to that Chargers game, and that's what I saw today.
All right, so Lee, the Bucks defense obviously was the question going into this game because we really weren't worried about the Giants locking down the Bucks completely. Although, as Sean mentioned, they had talent. Your takeaway from the defense, did anything impress you here, or Giants just aren't good enough to pull anything away?
Giants aren't good enough. I'm not crying about Drew Locke. Drew Locke sucks. He's on his third team. He can't buy a start. He's too stupid to keep a billionaire's freaking daughter who's a beauty queen and going to inherit an NFL team. This guy's a moron. I don't give a damn about him. I don't give a damn about Cutlets. They both suck. I'm not crying that Daniel Jones wasn't on the field. I'm happy as hell's the Bucks won. And I got to ask you something, because you have, Sean, you had people running off the road. You said the Giants had a talented defense. Expound on that, because they suck. I know they have a couple of good players, but could you actually call them? Give me a chance to explain yourself.
Sure. They lead the league in sacks. So they have Brian Burns, Thibodeau. They have a starting Pro Bowler in the middle, Dexter Lawrence. Yeah, so they have a ton of talent on defense. And if you go back and you look at the first part of this season, they were one of the top defenses in the NFL. I think when they started losing and their offense couldn't score more than 15 points a game, the defense stays on the field for long periods of time. I think what you're seeing in Denver is a similar thing. Denver has a very good defense, and they didn't have good offensive play at the beginning of the season. They're getting better offensively, so that's equating to a better defense. pass. And I think that's what the Giants, but what I saw with the Giants was quit. They played like they've quit on their coach, but for to say they don't have talent, they have three Pro Bowlers on defense. So they get after you. They play a very physical form of defense. Just today, they played soft, and I think it's just because they've called it in.
And they don't have much in the secondary, which kind of showed today. They didn't challenge much back there on the Bucs.
They have some safeties, though, Steve. They have Newbin.
One young safety.
A young safety was one of their top draft picks. I mean, he's played extremely well for them. They had a terrific draft class. If you look at between Tracy leading rookie running backs, Neighbors, you know, before the concussion was the number one receiver in the NFL, not just for rookies, but for all players. And then Theo Johnson, their starting tight end out of Penn State, is second to tight ends to Brock Bowers this year. For a guy that didn't get drafted very high, I feel overall their draft class was pretty damn good.
Fans haven't heard you in a while. They listen to your Best in Class podcast. You've been very busy here at Bill Curry Ford. And of course, you know, they hear you during the draft season and all that. But the big question of every Bucs fan's mind today is, can they do this? They're one back of the Falcons. Falcons still have Washington on their schedule, Chargers, and the Vikings. The Bucs' only tough game is the Chargers. Not that they're not all tough, but you know what I'm saying. Can the Bucs do this? Do you think they will do this?
I think they will do it. I was blessed enough to go to a charity event where Liam Cohen and his dad were hosting PAC, which was like it's a coaching charity where they're really working hard to make coaches leaders and having funding for proper Hillsborough County coaches. It's a great organization. And I was able to talk to Liam, and he was basically saying their goal is to win the next seven games and to get into the playoffs as healthy as they can. And when he was saying it, it wasn't a guess. It was like, this was the strategy from top to bottom, from Bowles to Light to him. So I think this is what they're hoping for, and that they did it last year, and I think that they have the confidence to do it again. And the way Baker Mayfield is playing right now, he's playing at an MVP level. And I hate wasting his talented year. You know, you've talked about it many times. You guys have written on Joe Bucs Fan about wasting an offense that's in top five in the league. I hate it myself. But the way he's playing, I think these are going to be games that we're going to easily win. I don't see us giving a close game until, and even with the Chargers, we match up really well with the Chargers, I think, offensively. Defensively, obviously, we don't match up against anybody with our soft zone, but we'll see how it goes. But no, I believe in this team. I've told you that from the beginning. We've talked about this all season. I feel like it's an extremely talented team. I feel like with a little bit of coaching and a little bit of luck, we can win these last seven games and run into the playoffs with 11 wins.
Lee, your reaction to what Sean just rolled out there?
I'm not so confident. So first off, kudos. Bowles finally broke a five-year losing streak coming off a bye. That's why I was very skeptical about this game. So he's 2-6 now after, or excuse me, 2-5 after byes. However, Carolina, who we all thought was slam dunk two wins, they got the Chiefs tied up in the final seconds. Carolina's playing good ball. I mean, good for them, they're playing good ball. Good for them, meaning they're not the Vikings, or they're not the, you know, pick your Ravens or someone like. They're playing good ball for the talent they have. Canales has those guys playing hard. That's not a bankable win anymore. Bankable wins, I should say. So, I don't know. A Todd Bowles team expected them to go 6-1. That's hard for me to do. It's hard, especially the way the defense is playing. Am I hopeful? Yeah, but that's Santa Claus.
I still think you're missing the point that we're not a Todd Bowles team. This is an offensive football team. This is a Liam Cohen team. And we've shifted from a defensive team to an offensive team. And I talked to you about this last week where Todd Bowles needs to start adjusting his head coaching style to more of an offensive side coach, if it's possible for him to make that adjustment and stop relying so much on a defense with 1 minute left or with three timeouts. He needs to outscore his opponents. We offensively are going to outscore Carolina and outscore the Raiders. I mean, we have offensive talent to be able to win these games. I'm not saying defensively we're going to be dominant.
That's the key. They can hang with anybody offensively. Defensively, they cannot. And you were talking about Bowles adjusting.
We have to coach this way now.
You believe that will happen? I don't. I don't believe Bowles will change. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had teams on the ropes, and he played for the freaking overtime, played for the tie. We saw what happened. That's Bowles.
I agree with you, Lee, that you know, that there's an opportunity here for him not to change. That
yeah, he's gonna, an opportunity. That, will he? I'm
not quite sure. But I would like to win the games by 10 points. Like if we're gonna score on our first possession and our second possession, I think we've really put it on in that first quarter where we've really come out and punched the other team in the mouth. And even in the 49ers game, is there any game this season that you didn't feel like you were in offensively in the games? We were in these
Denver.
Games. And well, besides Denver, it's like we didn't show up. That was a trap game. We didn't show up. But the rest of the games, even against Baltimore, we were still in the Baltimore game. We jumped on Baltimore early. We weren't able to hold it.
We came back.
We had that. You know, obviously Mike Evans had the injury. The 49er game, we had an opportunity to win the 49er game.
Bulls.
We've had opportunities to win both Falcons games. There's no excuse for us losing both those Falcons games.
Real quick, first, Carolina lost by 3 in the final seconds, so they did not pull it out, maybe that'll be a demoralizing loss for them. We go to Carolina next week. Still, obviously, like Lee said, they're improving. Todd Bowles said at halftime, we let our foot off the gas the first half of the season, which I had never heard him say that before.
That's what he
said at halftime today, and he was looking forward to the team not letting its foot off the gas. And what happened was the Giants came out, marched down the field. Lavonte David, big forced fumble that killed that drive, took the air out of him. The Bucs marched back for a 95-yard drive that was very impressive. But then after that, the foot came off the gas, and it was an ugly game for the final 18 minutes or so.
Very preseason-like.
Without the backups in the game, though. So, all right, two things, Sean. First, you got to tell everybody what's going on this week and through the holidays. Get Bill Curry Ford peak season for you. What's exciting? What do they have to know?
Well, we started the Black Friday sale, so as you know, like all the businesses right now are in the Black Friday mode, and it's one of our biggest weekends of the year where we sell the most cars. But really the whole month we don't really change our pricing, right? So we basically are saying it's a Black Friday month instead of a Black Friday day. So if you visit our website at BillCurryFord.com and you go on and you find the pricing on new and used cars, there's a coupon that comes up for Black Friday that you can download, and then it gives you an additional $1,500 off any of the pricing that we have online, as well as we will meet and beat any price that you bring in from another dealership by $100. I know that's Ira's favorite beet salad thing. So that's his favorite thing to say. Is they don't only tie, but they'll beat it. And I was like, thank you, Ira. I mean, he's so emphatic about that $100. But it is true. To be number one, you have to beat number one, right? So we're in the most competitive car business in the United States, from Miami corridor to Orlando region to the Tampa region where we are. More cars are sold than anywhere in the United States. And we're proud to be here with our new $25 million store, not to mention the fact our service department is the largest of its kind in the nation. With our mobile service now kicking off, we are now doing more mobile than I could have even imagined, where customers are calling us and we're doing service right in their driveway for free. We're fixing recalls for free. Customers aren't even having to come into this beautiful store with the brunchery, which is really nice, where you can get something to eat and some coffee. The pickup and delivery is also something that I personally don't like people driving my car. I don't know how you feel about it, Steve, Lee, but other people are fine with it. We go and pick up their car at their home. We drop a car off for them to drive. We fix their car. We bring it back to them.
And nobody goes through the Taco Bell drive-thru from Bill Curry Ford. They go right to the service shop.
So the interesting thing is all of the drivers that we have a GPS camera on them. We can actually see how they drive the car, where they take the car, and yes, they're fully monitored. We're one of the, and that was not something that Ford requires. That's something that Bill Curry Ford required. I'm kind of like the wrong guy to look at it because I'm in the business, but people are not concerned about it. They're like, no, please come get it. Please fix it, bring it back, and we're doing that.
And you tow as well if that's necessary.
Yes, we are in the midst of, you're going to love this, we're in the midst of purchasing our own towing company.
Wow.
I am done being limited to tow companies in the Tampa Bay area, especially after the storm, where I couldn't help people in need. I couldn't get them tow trucks. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I went to Jennifer Curry, the owner of Bill Curry Ford, and I'm like, listen, we cannot serve our community without having our own tow trucks. And she's like, let's go buy some. So we are a few months away from having the Bill Curry Ford tow service.
Wow.
If there's an emergency, I can send someone to get your car in a need. Like I said, after the two back-to-back hurricanes, you could not book a tow truck. We had people that were loyal to our store that I could not help. I felt helpless, to be honest. And I was like, we're going to find a solution, and we found a solution. We're buying some tow trucks.
BillCurryFord.com. You can get there today. That's Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E. Now, Sean, will you be here all week?
All week except for Thanksgiving, obviously. But then I will spend the majority of my time here Friday and Saturday for the Black Friday sale, talking Bucks with customers all day, selling cars, servicing cars, having fun. This is the best part of my job, is when the showroom is just full of people. I mean, I love it when there's just like a bunch of hustle and bustle going on. Deals are being made. People are happy. People are taking home new cars for Christmas. The best. As soon as 2025 clips, your car goes a year older in the book. So you're going to, this is where people lose money. You have to trade before the first. So that's my 2 cents, Steve.
All right. And last thing, Sean, Do you have a question for Ira? Because we're heading right back to the Sage right now.
I think my question for Ira is, does he feel like the carries that Bucky Irving got today, that he has now surpassed Rashad White for the starting reps for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Is he now regulated to the bench?
All right, we will ask.
Steve, I have a very personal answer to this. Very personal. It might blow up in my face Sunday. This is the last week of the regular season for the Fantasy League. I'm 7-5, Lee. I'm doing okay. Running backs are my strength.
Uh-oh.
I got Joe Mixon. I got Najee Harris. I got Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba.
And I got Bucky Irving. I drafted him. Yes, I did. Well, this week I'm going with Mixon. I think they're playing Jacksonville.
Ooh.
Got to go with Mixon.
Yeah.
I'm not playing Najee Harris. Now it's a Hubbard against the Bucks or Irving. Now, Hubbard scores touchdowns. You know, he's had a good year, Hubbard. I'm going with Bucky Irving this week. I'm bumping his usage up to 22 touches. And, Steve, I'm writing a column about Irving. I'll have it to you by tomorrow. You're going to like it. Sometimes, and I know this has happened to both of you guys, you do your research, you're looking at things, and then you find something and you're like, that's not true. I got to look at it again. Well, I just found something. Steve, Bucky Irving, and White is a fantastic receiver out of the backfield.
Yes.
We all say that. Steve, Irving's catches to targets is number one in the league. I think it's number one in the league. He's at 94%.
Wow.
For the season. Now, a lot of them are little flare passes.
Sure.
I understand it. But a lot of guys drop that ball.
He's number one in the league.
I think he's number one in the league.
No, he is. I wrote about it. Number one in the league. Best hands in the National Football League.
A big run, a big gain off a reception. What more do you want from this kid?
So you're saying Rashad White should sit the bench?
I'm saying Rashad White, you are now backing up Bucky Irving. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it's going to be.
Ooh.
And I think it comes right down from the Glazers. If anybody needed a little prodding, I think the Glazers supplied it. Bucky
really?
Irving needs his touches.
So you think the Glazers pulled in Al Davis, and they're ordering Bowles to play Bucky Irving?
I think they're suggesting it. And when the boss suggests, you don't have to order.
So, wow.
How could you not love the kid?
18 touches for Irving.
18 touches.
12 rushes for him.
I think he's only playing, but he only played 42% of the snaps.
12
Steve.
Rushes for Rashad White, 18
They're
total touches. So 18, you think he should be getting 22?
Yes, I do.
Because Sean Tucker doesn't need any more touches, in my opinion, right now. Let's work on him later.
The guy is consistently, he's not a flash in the pan, Irving.
Yeah,
he's doing it every week.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the rookie wall to fall in. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
He just had his best game
now,
of his career.
One reason maybe, and I don't know this, I'm speculating, one reason why he's not your number one running back is he messing with the foot injury that Bowles said's not going to go away.
Not from
this
what I see.
Well, I mean, it's not visible, but.
Oh, it's not visible. I don't think it's crazy to think he's going to get 1,000 yards rushing this year, Steve.
He's got a shot.
He's got a shot, Lee. He's got a shot. Now he's not going to match Doug Martin in 2012. That's the gold standard.
Yeah.
1450.
Well, Doug Martin had like 320 rushes that year, too.
But 1450.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, fine. But the kid is so impressive. And now he's talking to you in the locker room, Lee, to top the whole thing off.
Wait, I got good news for you, Ira. You know why I'm happy for you? Because guess what team in the league allows the most rushing yards?
Oh, it's got to be your little Panthers.
It's the Panthers.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Sean, you know, you asked me about Sean Sullivan earlier, and I couldn't remember. Sean claims that when Rashad White runs between the tackles, his head's down. I have not noticed that
Very
before.
Very interesting.
That was my biggest critique about Doug Martin. He always had his head down. That's why he didn't see holes. Kind of hard to see holes when you're looking at the ground. I've never noticed that about Rashad White. Running inside, that is, you know, in between the tackles. So,
you know, Steve, the one thing that I love about number seven, and you can't teach it, Lee. You cannot teach it.
The
jump cuts. Jump cuts.
He makes guys miss.
They're phenomenal. They're phenomenal.
Sage, Rashad White, 3.7 yards a carry, which is his average. That's what he's doing this year, the year before, 500 touch rush sample size. Enough already. I'm ready to give Bucky more. There's nothing to save him for. You know what? If you're getting blown out by the Chargers in a couple of weeks, sit him down. But we got to have him out there. But this is something Todd Bowles said on the Buccaneers Radio Network on Tuesday, Ira, and his voice changed to, like, the kind of reverence that you don't ever hear. Like, maybe something he would – a tone in which he would talk about Joe Gibbs.
This is this week.
Yeah, this is Tuesday.
This week.
Yeah,
Joe Gibbs.
So, I mean, Bowles just doesn't get misty-eyed or in awe.
And just for clarification, you're not talking about the Joe Gibbs that writes for Warren Sharp.
That's right.
Joe Gibbs.
the guy who used to coach Bowles.
His coach of the Redskins years ago. They asked him, he was talking about Bucky Irving. He says he can make people miss out in space. I'm telling you, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time.
Oh, I thought you were going to end that with some kind of Barry Sanders light quote. No. Now, here's another one, Lee, and I bet you caught this. Lee, you and I were there a week ago, Wednesday, and didn't I ask Bowles towards the end, don't you think Irving deserves some touches? He went into a big, long thing about how we got to spread the thing between Tucker.
Stop it with
the
spread.
And then at the very end, he goes, yeah, he deserves more touches. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It was
very
like
well.
His last line.
Yeah.
He circled all the way back and finally answered my question. Remember that, Steve? The last thing he said was, yeah, he deserves more touches.
He deserves more touches, but. And then he went,
always a but. Did you think Evans's presence opened things up for other guys, Steve?
Well, Jason Light before the game said Mike Evans, it was 100%. Now, we didn't hear that last week from Bucks officials.
No.
They didn't send him on any go routes, and he did leave the game early. But Bowles said tonight on the radio network that, you know, he came out of the game great and did everything. He was full go, but they didn't use him as full go. Yeah, obviously, he, you know, just looking at the film, he was still drawing some double teams, so that's got to help everybody. Caught the ball. He didn't look bad to me.
I think his presence means something, Lee.
Oh, I think it definitely opened up the offense. Because, yeah, 100%, 70%, the Giants had to make adjustments for him. I absolutely think that opened up the offense. After the Giants game, Evans became their career leader, NFL, since 1979, when they started keeping these stats.
I didn't even know they kept them. I didn't know they kept them.
No, I don't know if you heard this or not, Steve. No NFL player has drawn more penalty yards on defensive pass interference than Mike Evans.
I didn't know they kept that stat.
Yeah, they keep it.
But that's valuable.
The previous guy was Randy Moss. But Ira,
that's hidden yardage, baby.
Yeah. Ira, how many years have you been saying the way they throw flags, just throw it up to Evans, he'll get a flag? Well, this documents it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you know, that's
it.
A massive Hall of Fame feather.
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
That's
yes,
like
it
a,
is, Lee.
That's a real eye-opener, for sure. All right, Ira, look.
By the way.
No, this is important.
All right.
Sean Sullivan, he said the Bucks make it to 10 wins, okay, and get it done. I believe they do as well. Lee has more to see. Another question we asked was, can we even believe that the Bucks defense is a little bit healed after watching this game, considering the opponent? Lee said, hell no. I said, no, you need to see more. It was nice to get guys back healthy, very encouraging, but what's your take on that?
I'm with you too, guys. I want to see more. Now, Carolina's offense, you know, they ain't the Detroit Lions either. Was this game more about the Buck defense or the inept Giants? I like the way the Bucks played. I'm not going to go away from that. I like the way they played. Mm-hmm. I like their energy from the start.
Yeah, they had energy.
They had energy. But I want to see more. I think you guys are right. Now, Lee, you know, I'm going off on Bucky Irving. I have all season. I love the way the kid plays. But the guy that always gets short shrifted, Mayfield's playing outstanding football.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing great football, Lee. What a pickup. He had a very good season last year.
Better.
I think he's been better this year.
Yes.
I think he's been even better.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
He had
absolutely
that 2 or 3 week funk.
Yeah. He got out of it.
And he got out of it. He's throwing the ball very, very well. He's making great decisions.
When have you last seen a quarterback run 40, 50 yards downfield? And the thing that freaked me out about that more than anything, if people watch the replay, and I've seen a couple different angles.
This is on the Irving run, right?
Yes. If people watch the replay, Mayfield's acting like a third base coach wanting a guy to round third for home. He's waving at Irving like, follow me, follow me. Go watch the replay. I've never seen that. First off, a quarterback going halfway down the field. But second off, he's waving at the running back this way, come follow me.
You know, it's not contrived, Steve. That's what I love about it. It's his personality. It's him. It's not fake.
Like, no,
there's nothing
genuine
fake about him.
Yeah.
Steve, he's playing at a great level. Is he going to win the MVP? No, he's not. No, he's not. He's playing winning football.
Have you ever seen a quarterback do that, though? Like a third base coach? Follow? Yeah, I've never seen that.
I've never seen that either, but phenomenal play. Fun play. But I'm going to temper it myself because he didn't belong on the field. And
what about his touchdown run, Steve?
In the fourth.
Steve, the touchdown run. Impressive. Impressive.
Very impressive. Very impressive. But the Bucky Irving run, 10 minutes left in a 10 minutes left in a blowout. I don't want my quarterback running 40 yards down the field.
Wait a minute. You said keep your foot on the pedal. What do you want?
What? You can't keep your foot on the pedal with your backup quarterback? Look, Kyle Trask, if you're serious about winning late in the season and doing everything you can to win,
give him a few.
He needs some reps in case he gets thrown into a playoff game or a key game after Christmas or something.
And Mayfield,
real.
Mayfield, you know, gets hit in the head or something, and he's in concussion protocol for a quarter.
Which almost happened.
I mean, we're being told that Sean Tucker needs work now, and we don't even need him on the field. And nothing against Sean Tucker, but are we to believe that Kyle Trask doesn't?
Lee, Steve's making a great point. Just because Buck quarterbacks have been remarkably healthy and for about 7 years, that doesn't mean you don't have to protect yourself in the event something happens and have somebody that you have a little confidence in. How could you have faith in Kyle Trask right now?
Who's a gator?
Excellent, Lee. Excellent answer.
And I
gotta He's a gator.
And I think this is important, too, because you got to look at the flip side. Nobody knows what Kyle Trask would do. However, let's say he goes out there right here on Sunday. He went out there for the last quarter and stunk up the joint and threw two picks. Maybe it makes you think, well, maybe we have to go pick up one of these guys on the street that's hanging out. Maybe Matt Ryan wants to come in for a month. You know, I don't know.
You mean Mr. Tulane on the practice squad isn't the next Joe Theismann?
He might be.
Do the Bucs look like a team that's going to go on a run, Lee? Do they?
He's not ready yet. He's not ready.
I think Lee's smart.
Not the way his defense is playing. And to be fair, you asked me this earlier. Nor do I have confidence Atlanta's going to win the division because their defense is so bad.
Now, you're always pushing the Saints. You think the Saints are out of this thing, Steve?
I think they're out of it, but I don't think they're terrible. But they traded
away.
They're
only a game behind the Bucs, right?
Yeah, but the...
So is Carolina.
The Saints...
No. They're two games.
Yeah, Carolina's two games back. The Saints traded away key players already. You know, they got rid of Lattimore. They got rid of... I forget who else they dumped. So, I mean, they're already in. They dumped their coach on top of that.
Yes,
I don't think they're in it. But they're a nice story for Saints fans, but we'll see.
Well, the Bucs got to play them again.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
twice,
the Saints.
Twice, right? Once.
Not worried about the Saints, Ira. On defense now, we got to talk about the news of the day. And then I guess we can get out of here, Sage. You can tell us about Thanksgiving as well.
Okay.
But Shaq Barrett got the word out through his agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
Rosenhaus, he's a crafty son of a gun, Lee. He is.
Shaq Barrett, who retired in just before training camp after signing. The Bucs didn't want him. He signed with Miami, got $8 million or so, went to OTAs, and then didn't go to training camp. Wanted to be home. I'm done. And then he made some statements. If I did come back, I'd want it to be with the Bucs. He lives in Tampa.
On Kay Adams' show specifically.
Exactly.
And a couple weeks ago in Munich, he was at the Bucs have a bar they opened in Munich, and he was there for the opening.
What's the name of the bar, Lee?
Crew something. Something crew.
Ah.
Something. And they serve freaking, what's that, cheap-ass Irish beer that Anheuser-Busch
owns.
No. I don't like Guinness.
Killian's.
In Munich, of all freaking places. Give me a break.
The Blazers can't open a bar on Dale Mabry, but they can open one in Germany. All right, so Shaq decides he's coming back, and he asks the NFL to come back. The Dolphins hold his rights. Now, it's dicey, Ira, because it's after the trade deadline. And no matter, even if you played in the league 20 years, if you get cut after the trade deadline, you have to go through waivers. So the Dolphins can't trade him, and unless they really want him, they're going to cut him, and then he's got to pass through waivers. So obviously if Rosenhaus has been out there for 10 days telling teams, look, don't claim Shaq because he's only going to play for the Bucs. Do me a solid here. I'll help you out down the road, whatever. I don't know how sticky it might be, but it seems obvious to me, maybe not to you, it's what we're going to ask, that he wants to come back for the Bucs. Joe Tryon-Shayinka just walked off with his first significant injury of his career on Sunday. The stage seems to be set, Ira.
Lee, I'm going to put a damper on this. I don't like to do it, but I will. Non-story. It's a non-story.
Non-story.
It's a non-story. It's not a non-story that Barrett wants to play for the Bucs. That's not a non-story. What's a non-story is, I don't think he's been very effective.
There's
a reason he's not a Buccaneer. You know, and I think they're going to stay in-house. I don't see it happening, and I don't know what kind of shape he's in. If he plays, I think he's going to play for the Bucs, Lee. But I don't think it's going to happen. And if somehow it does, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to turn into T.J. Watt.
No.
His last couple of years weren't very good, Lee.
His last year was not very good at all. I mean, I've written it several times. I think it's after the sixth game. It was close. It was five to eight games into the season. He was invisible after that.
Would you go with him over Braswell at this point? Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only because of experience.
All right.
If the Bucks make it to 10 or win the division, it's going to be by the skin of their teeth. So just for experience only, I would go with him over Braswell. And by the way, Braswell is he's on milk cartons right now, isn't he? Throughout the area.
I thought the Albie played pretty well, Steve. I thought the Albie played a good game.
He did get a sack, but he's really good against the run, and he was active.
A
breakthrough. But Ira, here's the thing about Shaq. Do you think he applies to come back like he just did and isn't in shape? I mean, you would think that the guy probably spent 3 weeks getting in shape and said, all right, I'm ready to go.
I've never questioned his professionalism. That I don't question.
So if he's ready to play and maybe they try to work this out, he's still better than what's on the roster. That I think, is what it comes down to.
I see your point, Steve. I see your point. Unless they think Braswell's coming on. I don't know that they do, but he does come off the left edge, and they need somebody there right now. There's no question about it.
Last one for Lee and you, Sage. Mike Edwards, okay? So Mike Edwards came back, played quite a bit. Jordan Whitehead got hurt. It looks like he'll be out for the season, but he's not going to get surgery, so he's going to try.
You're not going to use the word ball hawk, are you, Steven?
No.
You're going to throw that in there?
No, but you always used to call him a ball hawk.
So did I.
Mike Edwards, and he did squeeze picks, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did.
So here's the thing, Ira. Here's what's a little confusing to me. So Edwards, you know, he was with the Chiefs, signed with the Bills in free agency, didn't get a starting job. They went with DeMar Hamlin, who made this big comeback. Chiefs, good team. Edwards asked to be traded. They didn't trade him. Apparently couldn't find a deal. And they cut him before the trade deadline, and he signed with Tennessee. Not the Bucs, signed with Tennessee. Tennessee cuts him in a week, and he shows up here. And then Todd Bowles literally said after the game the other day that Mike Edwards, they were able to do so much more and open up the defense because he was there, and he can do things that, you know, guys could do things that nobody else could do before because – you know, he knows the defense and opened the playbook and all this other stuff. He said it was huge, and they've done, quote, things that we haven't done in a while. So where was he before with the worst secondary in that we've seen in years? I don't understand it.
Lee, here's the way I look at Edwards. He's going to play with Winfield at safety. I don't like him at nickel. I certainly don't like him at outside corner. He's a safety. Now, Lee, I don't think you're going to argue with me. Whitehead wasn't doing much. He wasn't doing much.
No, I
was disappointed in him.
I think if you give the Bucks truth serum, they would have buyer's remorse.
And I thought it was a good pickup by the Bucks. I did. So you got Edwards is going to play next to Winfield, and I'm okay with that. And then Izzy's in the mix somewhere. I would like to see Tyke Smith back on the field, Lee.
Which he will be sooner or later.
And he will be. But let's not, like you said, Steve, let's not go overboard about little Mike Edwards.
No, I want to know why he's saying this. I want Lee's wisdom here, yours. Bowles literally said bringing Mike back allows Winfield, Levante, even Jordan Whitehead in the corners to open things up that we don't normally do. So why wasn't he here sooner?
Bingo.
Is Todd Bowles saying that Jason Light wouldn't get him for me? Is this a backhanded slap? What is this?
He was cut earlier. He was cut by the Chiefs, was it? No, Titans, right?
So he was available.
He came to the Bucs right after the Titans, so there was no gap.
Buffalo.
He was on the trade market for Buffalo.
Yeah.
You couldn't throw a seventh round pick to get a guy that your coach is
saying. Oh, no, can't do that.
The whole defense?
No.
What's going on?
Can't do that.
Did that cost them one game? I mean, I'm serious.
Could have. How many games did they lose in overtime or the last drive of the game?
Let's not talk about this guy like he's Ed Reed over here for a second.
Todd Bowles is. Todd Bowles is. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, I don't understand all that chatter.
The only thing I could think of is trying to boost his morale.
I mean, the timing's good with Whitehead going out.
You probably know this as well as anyone, Ira. More so than we contemplate, coaches, baseball managers, you name it, a lot of these things they say to us, it's a message to
yes.
the team
yes.
or a specific player.
Yes.
So what we think is outrageous is a very pointed message to a very specific player or element of the team.
Well said, Lee. Well said. I wish you could talk like this so eloquently, Steve. That was very well said.
It's very
by
well
Lee.
Said. All right. So, Ira, what's on your Thanksgiving plate?
Oh, real quick, one more Buck thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this or not, Ira, but you know, Jordan Whitehead supposedly was out for the year. There were all kinds of reports Monday, Rappaport, Jordan Schultz, and he was done. Well, the test came back. Remember, Todd Bowles was asked about Whitehead. He goes, well, we're waiting for the test to come back. Test came back. It's not a tear on his pec, but it's a pec injury. And Whitehead's going to try to tough it out. He's going to miss some time, but you know, to try to heal a little bit, but he's going to try to tough it out.
Take your time, Jordan. We got Mike Edwards. We got Ed Reed back there. Take your time.
What do you, I mean, that's a painful injury. What do you think about that?
The last time I remember somebody with a pectoral. And
McCoy.
McCoy. And way back was Warren Sapp had it in 2001.
Wow.
The year before the Super Bowl. Interesting story. Sapp played through it. He played through it. I don't know if it probably wasn't a tear, but he played through it. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a good season.
No.
Did not have a good season. That was Dungy's last year. Ended in Philly with a rout by the Eagles in Philly. And, Lee, you know this story, but I might as well tell it again. Here I am doing the All-Tribune team at the end of the season. Yeah. Well, I think Keith Millard was on the Vikings or something, so he's one of my tackles, defensive tackles. I'm looking around. I'm certainly not going to take Sapp. You know, he had like 4 sacks. I look around. I see this guy from Jacksonville, Gary Walker. He had a career year. He had like 8 sacks, you know, 3 forced fumbles or whatever. There it is in the Sunday Tribune. All Tribune by the Sage. Keith Millard, Gary Walker. See Sapp after the game? Gary Walker? What are you, nuts? On one leg, I'm better than Gary Walker. Then talk to me for the next 2 years. Still brings up Gary Walker to me. Now, here's the part that you guys, it's not funny.
It is funny.
First day of training camp. This is true. 2002, championship season. Here comes me, Cummings, Catherine Smith, blah, blah, blah. Fennelly, we show up. Well, of course, they bring out Gruden. Of course, they bring out Brad Johnson. And there's, you know, Brooks, and here's Sapp. Sapp goes to the podium. Know what he said?
He called you out?
I'm sitting there right there. No, better than that. He goes, couldn't help my ball club last year. Couldn't help my ball club. I tried to play, wasn't effective. Cried myself the whole season that I couldn't do more. Injury was too tough. I'm looking at him like, you're screaming about Gary Walker? You just said you couldn't help your ball club. You want to be on my All-Tribune team? I don't think so, Lee. I don't think so. So anyway, he had the pectoral injury. If I'm Whitehead, if I'm the Bucks, I'm in no rush to get Whitehead back. I don't think he was playing at an elite level.
Well, there's a couple,
not even close.
There's a couple plays where effort was a question.
You know what? I think you're right. I noticed that, too. There were some effort questions.
Now, I don't know if he was injured or not, but he didn't look like he was.
Almost a loaf, in the words of Monty Kiffin. Don't loaf.
In the words of Steve Isbitz.
In the words of Steve Isbitz. Don't loaf. Anyway, Thanksgiving, Steve, you know, up to Palm Coast, back from Palm Coast, same day, gorge myself, gained 2.5 pounds.
What's the focus? Turkey? Are you a stuffing guy? A ham? What are you?
The guy makes, he's a gourmet cook, soup to nuts.
Oysters?
No. I'm thinking about bringing a pound of shrimp, but, you know, shrimp's expensive. Maybe I'll...
he's on budget.
Maybe I'll bring up some hard salami or something. But it's a feast. And then pies at the end of the night with the ice cream and everything. And then I'm back on the road.
Where's your focus? What are you dialing in?
My focus is on my fantasy football team. I gotta see what Jared Goff does.
You already have a list of what you're going back for second helpings of. Sweet potatoes.
Creamed onions, stuffing, you know, stewed tomatoes.
Now, this year, Lee, he's doing the read option offense on the buffet. So
nice.
He's going to, you know,
no
feel
loaves
it
at
out.
The table. No loaves at the dining table,
on
baby.
On
all right,
plate.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. And
we're
going to
be back
later
in the week,
yeah,
Steve.
We got picks. It's a big week.
I'm on a roll now.
Season on the brink.
Now, how are you going to stay awake? All that was it tryptophan? The chemical in turkey that puts you to sleep? How are you going to stay awake? 3.5-hour drive back.
Well,
Dunkin' Donuts? Coffee?
There'll be a Dunkin' stop. Maybe even Starbucks because that's strong stuff.
He can't afford shrimp, but he can buy Starbucks. Very, very interesting.